the head coach of the New England Patriots, joins us on a Patriots Monday, as he always does. Coach Bill Belichick is with us. As soon as we get him all situated. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Doing okay. Hey, Mike. How we doing?
What's going on, Bill?
Hey, before we get to the game, and obviously that'll be a lot of our focus, I wanted to ask you about the guys who came back, the 17 guys who were honored at halftime and who were shown before the game, the 17 guys who could be here who were part of three Super Bowl championships. What was it like for you to see all those guys again?
A lot of great memories. There's a lot of wins there, a lot of happy moments after the game. That was a good group. It really was a good group. All the guys that were mentioned, of course, there's a lot of players that didn't play on all three Super Bowls, you know, like the Rodney Harrisons of the world, guys like that. But was a lot of good, tough football players there, a lot of throwback guys.
Vince Wilfork told us, he said, I was a young pup when in 2004 when I was with him. He said, but they taught me how to work. They taught me what it meant to be a pro. And he said that's a message he's trying to pass on now to the young guys on your team.
And he's done a good job of it, too. He really has. Vince does a great job of working with the younger players and teaching them how to be a pro, teaching them how to prepare, how to deal with the things you have to deal with as a professional athlete, as a professional football player in Boston. He does a great job of it. He's outstanding. And they taught him well. He's taught others well. He's passed the torch.
You know, you think about some of those guys on those championship teams, especially that first Super Bowl team you had here. I mean, I think you guys were, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think you guys were $10 million over the cap at one point when you came in. You inherited a...
Yeah, and that was in 2000.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl was 2001. But, yeah, we were only at 38 players.
Yeah, and so you had some of these signings were, okay, we got to sign up some guys and we don't have a lot of money to work with. So it's not like they were high-profile signings. Did you think...
No, they were minimum signings.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys worked out and turned out to be, you know, really productive players. How long did you think it would take to get to a Super Bowl level? I'm guessing it happened sooner than you thought. How long do you think it would realistically take to
four years, probably.
4 years?
Well, because we didn't have any money in free agency to go out and, it's one thing when you have, you know, a lot of money, you know, whatever, 15, 20% money in free agency to go out and, you know, acquire players and upgrade. We were, I would say, not a very good football team, and we're actually having to release players in order to get, not under the cap, but in order to be able to fill out our roster. So, yeah, it wasn't a good situation. And, you know, I think that, Scott did a good job of really, you know, managing that. I mean, he and I spent a lot of time together, but, you know, we really tried to, you know, grind through and find the, it was more so in 01 than 2000. 2000, we had a lot of rookies on the roster. By 01, the Roman Pfeiffers and the Antoine Smiths and the Anthony Pleasants and guys like that, Cox and those guys. That there was a lot of veteran free agents that year, none of whom were being paid very much, but they added certainly an element to the team that was very professional and tough and hard-nosed. And and we're 5-5 after the St. Louis game in 2001. You know, that's where you found a lot of staying power and resiliency. And some of the players that were here, the Troy Browns and, you know, Ty and Lawyer and guys like that, you know, really added a lot of, they added to it. And it, you know, obviously it came together.
The way Teddy Bruschi put it to us an hour or so ago was, I wanted to be part of righting the ship. I didn't want to jump ship.
Yeah, he was, you know, and Troy was in that category. Those guys were a big part of just, you know, working through a situation that wasn't real good, but it became good when everybody, as Teddy said, pulled together and righted the ship and were able to get to a common goal, even though we weren't by any means the most talented team. We were able to play good football, and that's really what it was about, not who had the most talent, but who played the best. And, you know, we were able to play well on a consistent basis. Willie McGinnis, I mean, you just can't say enough about those guys.
5 weeks ago in Kansas City, it looked like a football game that just got away from you guys, and it started rolling downhill, and you couldn't stop the rock from rolling downhill. And I sort of felt that's what happened to Denver a little bit here yesterday. Once it started rolling downhill, they just couldn't stop the rock.
Well, I don't know. It's something, you know, that probably they'd have a better feel for it than we would. We just tried to just take each possession and really each play. Shouldn't even say each possession. It's one play at a time and just try to go out there and have a good play and then move on to the next one and try to string them together. You know, and I feel like that's the way it is when you play them. There's no break in the action. I mean, one play could be a strip sack. One play could be a 60-yard touchdown. One play could be a block punt. One play could be anything if you're not if you give them that opportunity to they're good enough to capitalize on it. So you've really got to do a good job in every situation, in every phase of the game, at all times of being there, and then. And when you get your opportunities, whether it be on a punt return or a turnover or, opportunity to make a play offensively, then you got to capitalize on it. And I think that's the game against them. You can't give them. I mean, we've seen it. We saw it in Seattle. We saw it when Manning is at against Tampa. Scored 21 points in the last whatever it was 2 minutes of the game, or I can't even remember some ridiculous thing that. I mean, it's just never safe. You know, just sitting there with a 3-touchdown lead with 6 minutes to go in the game, thinking like, "All right, can we hang on here?" I mean, I never felt like the game got away from them or got far enough. We were far enough ahead where it was really in control until the last 2 minutes of the game.
You think about how the game played out yesterday, and snow was not a factor. That was talked about earlier in the week, and I know you had your comments about meteorologists. But wind was a factor in the game. Did you go in saying, all right, this is my approach on field goals? Was there a number in mind on whether you're going to go for it on, fourth and five? Was it just certain end of the field you were going to go for it four downs? I mean, what was your approach with the wind with your field goal kicker yesterday?
You know, I didn't think the wind was that bad.
You didn't?
No, I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was nearly the factor it was the week before against Chicago. So, it was a little bit of a factor. And when we went for it on fourth down, on the pass to Vereen on fourth and five or whatever it was, I'm not so sure on a good day that wouldn't have been a consideration, I'm saying a good day. Today it was even less wind. But I think that was, that was really about it. We had a couple touchbacks into the wind. Obviously, the wind favored going away from the lighthouse, but I don't really think it affected the passing game very much. I think it affected the kicking game more than it did the passing game, but I didn't think it was that big of a factor in the game. And had this game gone the way the one did last year, there's no way that I would have taken the wind in overtime. Like, I think it's anywhere close to being like that.
I want to talk about the...
How did it affect our game? I would say, it affected a few yards one way or the other. Going away from the lighthouse, give you a few more yards on the field goal. The 50-yard field goal that we kicked to start the game, had that been in the other direction, I think that would have been, a tougher decision. I mean, it was no decision to go with the wind on that kick. The fourth and five into the wind was probably right there on the edge. So, a couple yards one way or another. But I think those were, those were close. But other than that, I would say I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
The Julian Edelman touchdown on the punt return. There were so many things happening all at once. The muff by the punter. Browner almost blocked it. It looked like he just missed blocking it.
Bolden,
I'm sorry. And it looked as though you had a left return set up, but Julian saw daylight to the right and adjusted, and his teammates adjusted with him. Is that accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we expected the ball to go to their bench because that was, I think, where Colquitt was trying to punt it, and also that's the way the wind was favoring it. When Colquitt muffed the snap, Brandon Bolden made a really smart play. He saw it. He was holding his man up, and then when he saw the ball muffed, then he forced the punter and almost blocked it. But that really wasn't his responsibility at all. He just saw the play and reacted to it. The punt went more down the middle than what we thought it would go to the sideline because probably because of the timing of the play. Colquitt was just trying to get it off. And then the gunner on the right was down the field, and he kind of got past, kind of getting past Butler, and so Amendola came over and chipped him off, and that was kind of got Julian started. And then he just saw the space out there, and probably Denver, I think their coverage probably anticipated the ball was going to go a little bit more to their bench than what it did, and it seemed like they had sort of maybe started to cheat over there a little bit. Plus the timing of the play was off. They were downfield and, you know, everything else because the ball was punted later. But then they kind of all got caught up in there in that one same level, and Julian was able to slip outside. And, you know, Tim got, you know, just enough, but not too much, you know, on the block there on the corner. And then, you know, Edelman made a great job, a great play when he cut back on Tammy there at the end. And then, you know, outran Colquitt to the end zone. So, you know, it's... Yeah, about the way you saw it. It's about the way I saw it, too. It was an excellent play by Edelman to, you know, good play by Amendola to help get us started, and then Edelman, you know, to make a guy miss and then have the speed to get to the corner.
You've been around for a while to know the best of the media and the worst of the media. I'm not saying you're a media critic or you sit around all day listening to the radio or watching TV, but did you pay attention to any of the stuff at the beginning of the season? It seemed... More than usual, there was a lot of commentary about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's upset. He's upset at you. He's upset with the coaches. He's not happy with the personnel. He's declining. Did you listen to any of that stuff? Amused by it? Annoyed by it? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so much out there. I mean, it's every station is, you know, just filled with opinions on top of opinions on top of opinions. So. No, I mean, I don't sit there and listen to it or read it. Am I to some degree aware of it? Yeah, I am, and I think I need to have some sense of, particularly when, you know, it directly involves us, not that it's some random opinion, but more so of, you know, maybe what somebody else has said about us or what's maybe somebody on our team has said. Just so that if I ask about it, I have, you know, some idea of what's accurate and what was said, so... But I don't spend a lot of time. I mean, I can't worry really about what everybody else thinks. With all due respect, I've got to try to do what I feel like is best for the team. And no matter what that is, nobody would be happy anyway. So that's, you know, that's not really the point of it. It's to try to listen to, you know, our coaching staff and the player feedback. And based on the experience and the knowledge and time that we put into the situation, do what feels best for the team. And that's what I've tried to do.
So is it fair to say that the level of performance that Tom Brady is at right now is not too far off from the level of performance you've grown accustomed to seeing from Brady over the years?
Well, no, I think Tom's, you know, strung together, you know, a number of games here and in particular some outstanding plays. I'd say particularly his movement in the pocket and last night was a good example of, you know, but he's done it several times this year and several times on third down in critical situations where he's been able to slide into open space, get his eyes downfield, make a good throw, third and 20, third and 15, third and forever, you know, those kind of plays. I mean, you know, those are turnovers. If you don't make those, you're punting the ball and giving it back to him, minus the 20 yards or whatever it is that you get on the play. So, I mean, there's a lot of field position and there's possession of the ball. So, you know, I think those plays have been really you know, outstanding, and Tom's made a number of them. They made them in the red area, too, and he's made some very accurate throws. So, but, you know, I mean, we've seen him do that before. I don't want to say get used to it, but I think he's, in recent weeks, he's done that at a very high level and done a very consistently done a number of times.
Converting on third down and sometimes on fourth down, obviously, is drive extending, but I looked at the numbers from last night, and it was more unusual than ever. You converted on 3rd and 10, 3rd and 5, 4th and 5, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 11. That's pretty unusual. I mean, we're not talking 3rd and inches here. These are all big drive-extending plays.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Dale, we do better on those than we do on 3rd and inches.
I have to admit, as a fan, the hurry up to the line of scrimmage and run the quick play has sort of lost its luster for me on those situations.
Yeah, that third and short situation hasn't really been a good one for us on either side of the ball, statistically, you know, relative to league averages. So we've got to do a better job of that. But no, there's some big conversions there. And on the flip side of it, we were able to convert defensively, get off the field, make third down stops, and then make fourth down stops. So that was, you know, obviously a key part of the game, being able to stay on the field and keep their offense on the sideline. I thought the 80-yard drive that we had after they scored to make it 30-16 or whatever it was, 30-14, you know, that was a, you know, tremendous drive with a number of third down conversions along the way and red area plays. So, yeah, you can't say enough about those third down plays. I mean, really, the game, like most games in the NFL, comes down to turnovers, third down, red area. And if you do well in those areas, then that makes up for a lot of sin somewhere else.
Can you remember a game where you had four chances to stop a team on fourth down in a single game? They went 0-for-4.
Not right off the top of my head, but it's, you know, that's what happens when you get the lead and you're able to play from ahead. You know, it forces some situations that, you know, might have been field goals or scoring opportunities that, because of the circumstances of score and time in the game, that they felt like they had to play it differently. So if you can take advantage of those predicaments that you put your opponent into, then that just makes the game that much smoother for you.
Well, it's time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today.
So do we hit the same drive this week?
I was going to say, I don't know.
Let's see.
You tell me.
Ours is right here.
I mean, you mentioned one already. I don't know if you think that's the drive of the week or if you have another one in mind. What do you think?
No, I thought that was the drive of the week.
Okay, you think that was
the question. I mean, that was... You know, it's a two-score game. It's a 16-point game, and we're on our own 20 after they touchbacked us, right? And, you know, to come out of that drive and be able to, you know, hold the ball for whatever it was, 5-6 minutes somewhere in that neighborhood and drive down there, and it was a huge drive. I thought that was, you know, that really then put, you know, now, of course, Denver being Denver, you know, they answer like they always do, you know, come back and make a couple plays, but... I thought that was a big statement for us offensively.
Well, young Ben got an A+ last week. This week it's a C-, because he's picking the drive just before the half, where it's 27-7.
Well, that was a big one too. You know, I think that's honestly that's the way you want to draw it up against Denver. You get the ball with 2:08 or whatever it was, and A, they don't get it back. B, you drive down and put points on the board. And C, you get a touchdown and they get a kneel down play. So we negated their 2-minute offense with that drive, not only with our points, but we didn't give them a chance to answer. And that also played into, you know, our opportunity in the second half to start a possession of the ball. Unfortunately, we turned it over and that led to points on their end, but it gave us an opportunity like we had in the Chicago game, like we had in the Cincinnati game, to really put a run together at the end of the first half. Here we kind of got it before halftime and not into the third quarter, but, you know, that potential was there again last night.
Can I ask you, Joe, go ahead.
I was just going to say it was interesting that, you know, the touchdown that wasn't to Edelman happened with 38 seconds left, and the review, because it was overturned, you actually were able to, not that you wanted to take points off the board, but because of that, you were able to burn some more clock.
It ended up working out in our favor. Yep, we certainly didn't think of it that way when the touchdown was taken away, but it worked out in our favor.
Can I ask two nitpicky questions? Because I was just curious as I was watching the game. What happened that you had to use your third timeout coming out of the 2-minute warning? The first play out of the 2-minute warning, and Tom took a timeout before you even snapped a ball.
Well, you know, that's a good question. We had the 2-minute warning. We talked about it. We had a play called, and the last thing I told Tom going back out on the field was, we have good field position here. We have enough time. You know, don't run a bad play. And when he saw the look on the play, and, you know, Josh and I were on the headset, and the play that I wanted to run, as we saw it unfold when I think Amendola shifted over and we kind of saw it unfold, it was like, I don't know about this one. And Tom saw it the same way, and so he took the timeout. I thought it was not that the fans would know, but as a coach, I felt like it was a really great decision by Brady to not you know, not put ourselves at risk in that situation. We didn't need to. We were ahead in the game. We had good field position. We weren't really fighting the clock, and we were able to run a better play the second time around. So maybe if we had called the play better the first time, if I'd done a better job of that, we wouldn't have had to waste it. But it was a good decision. I think it was a really good decision by Tom.
And the other one that I was curious about was, why did you decide to challenge on whether or not Gronk had scored? Because on replay, it looked pretty clear like he'd been touched.
Yeah, he did. It was a bad challenge on my part. But what I was focused on was him hitting the ground and getting into the end zone without being touched. But he was obviously touched on the way up to make the catch, and I just blew it. I overlooked that, and I just saw the end of the play, and I just didn't register with me that he was hit, you know, as he was going up to make the catch. And then, of course, he was down when he hit the ground. So it was just a mistake on my part.
Hell of a throw with the red flag, though. That's as far as I've ever seen you throw it.
I lost control of it, yeah.
Caught up in the wind a little bit or
almost hit the headlines.
So the wind was a factor.
It's just a bad throw, I tell you. It'd be great to get a personal foul penalty for that. And we'd be back on a 20-yard line. Boy.
Well, congratulations on the win. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.